Hallelujah, hallelujah. John 19:30, the word reads, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." Father, thank you for your word today that's anointed. I thank you for ears to hear and a heart to receive your word, because it's not a head knowledge, it's a heart knowledge, God. And when we can get it inward, it will come outward. And we thank you for that engrafted word today, Father. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. It is finished.
Yes.
The greatest words that could ever be uttered by the greatest man that ever lived, and that was Jesus, that walked the earth as a human, that went through everything that we go through, and to ultimately pay the price for us. Amen. It is finished. And when we read those words, "it is finished," it's the ending of an Old Testament, an old covenant, and the beginning of all New Testament truth. Jesus put an end to the law for righteousness. Now we have a New Testament, a greater covenant, which stands on its own. As someone told me the other day, we pass out New Testaments. I don't know if they still do it, but when I was in fifth grade, I got a little red testament, the New Testament. New Testament. The Passover is over.
That's right.
Amen? So we don't have to wait for certain events. We don't have to wait for certain times of the year for the heavens to be open.
That's right.
I never know them to be closed. Come on, somebody. We don't have to wait for a certain time of the year for deliverance or healing or salvation.
Amen.
It is here.
Amen.
All we have to do is believe and receive.
Right.
Passover, exactly what it means. It's passed over. Woo! Amen. So heavens are open. They're not closed. If you think they're closed, it's just something in your mind saying they're closed. They're not closed. So you need to get under the, heavens with the glory spout or something. What is that somebody used to say? Well, it's there. Amen. So a finished word, that finished, it is finished, it's pregnant with hope. No longer will man be bound to laws they can never keep anyway.
Right. Amen.
Y'all got to help me. Y'all got to pull on this anointing, because I ain't going to be able to preach this unless I run. Hallelujah. No longer will man be bound by laws that they can never keep.
Praise the Lord. Amen. That is right.
That's rest.
Yeah.
That's rest. So everything from that point begins to blossom out, because that was the beginning of it all. And I'm so thankful today that God is never without a plan. And no matter how bad you think you're messed up, He's already got a plan to get you out of your mess.
Oh, thank you.
Amen. So three simple words: it is finished. Can you imagine what happened to hell and all the demons that day? No wonder the earth shook. No wonder there was darkness. Mm-mm-mm. The English phrase, "it's finished," it's not necessarily "it is finished" in the Greek. It simply means finished. You don't have to add anything to it. The Greek means finished. Finished. Matthew 27:50-51 says, "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook." There was a great earthquake. Finished. Finished. And in the corner of the temple in Jerusalem, in the holiest of holies, we understand was the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. And that's where the priests went once a year to go and offer atonement for the people's sins. A veil, a very thick woven curtain, separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple. But when Jesus died on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins, And I remind you again, and will continue to remind us, past, present, and future sins. Sins you committed yesterday, the ones you're going to do today, and the ones that you're going to probably do tomorrow have already been taken care of. It was not ripped from bottom to top, but it was ripped from top to bottom. There was something coming from there down to here. Hallelujah. God was saying, you no longer are on the outside. You can come in. You can come in. You don't have to clean yourself up. Come as you are, just as I am, without one plea. You're no longer on the outside. You can come in because my Son has made a way for you. The Apostle Paul explained it in Hebrews 10:19-22. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. The veil was torn that day from top to bottom. Jesus now being our intercessor. We don't have to go through anything now to get to God. Not religion, not works, anything. We can go to God. Because we've been forgiven. We don't have to go through rituals, religion.
None of that.
Jesus made a new and living way for us to reach God. In other words, he paid it all. He paid it all. I remember a song that we sung at the Baptist church that I was raised in. At the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart was rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. Glory to God. So how can we sing that happy song every day? And how can we get up every morning and say, today, I don't quit today. I don't quit today. It's going to be a bad day because I know there's already some things that's going to go on. And I've got to do this and that and the other. But I'm not going to quit today. I'm still going to sing my happy song, and I'm not going to allow the devil to steal that song from my heart. We can sing that happy song and not feel guilty because our past, present, and future sins was already paid in full. We stand before God in righteousness, seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And at that moment when Jesus said, it is finished, or finished, mercy and truth met together, righteousness and peace met together, and hell went into panic. Because at that moment they could no longer hold anybody in bondage. You're not in bondage to anything. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, every curse was broken off your life. And if you're walking in any addiction or anything like that, the enemy is telling you that you're in bondage to something Jesus says you're already free from. So what continues people to stay in bondage is because they feel guilty and they feel condemned and they don't think there's any other way out. And that's a lie of the enemy because we know the truth. Because we know the truth. Matthew 27 says, the earth shook. Luke 23's account said, and it was about the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst from top to bottom. The earth trembled under the impact of sin. Man's sin that could not be satisfied with the blood of goats and the blood of animals. When I was thinking about the account of Luke, it tells us there was darkness over the sun and the earth was dark. The event had to be so sacred, as bad as it was, as bloody as it was. It had to be also so sacred. It was as God took himself and cloaked the sun for a little while so he couldn't see the gift that he had given to this earth. And there was darkness, the Bible says, for 3 hours, and in all that agony and suffering that had it was taking place, God covered it for just a little while. God covered it just for a little while. He draped the sun, and he would not let anybody see his son bear the death, bear the sin, because he became sin for us all. He did it once and for all. Jesus is the completion of everything, every type that is in the Old Testament. Jesus is a completion of that. And as Pastor Lavar was saying the other day, we read the Old Testament, we read the moral laws, but we're not under the old covenant anymore. Amen. Because we can't keep it. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus came. So we're living in a new covenant, a new testament. In the Old Testament, the priest that went into the Holy of Holies to offer the sacrifice did not cost him anything. He was using the blood of animals that had been sacrificed. But Jesus just sacrificed his very self and his very own blood, not every year, but once. Once and forever and ever. The priest walked into the holy place to offer the sacrifice was just a man that someday would die. But our high priest, your high priest, is going to live forever and ever and ever and ever. Ever and ever and ever. Amen. He was and is the perfect offering and the perfect priest. He said it's finished. He said it's finished. Finished. And we as a church still have not been awakened to the fact that it's finished. Because if we really, really believe that, we wouldn't be trying to work to get something that has already been given to us freely. That's why you don't have to wait for certain events of the year to pray for deliverance or pray for healing. Jesus already stepped out of time and brought his son to us, and that price has already been paid. You just have to believe it and then receive it anytime. The heavens are open. Amen? So we must be awakened to that fact and let everybody else be awakened to that fact that it's not religion that saves man. It's not rituals. It's not trying to keep laws and all these things. But it's coming to God in humbleness and say, here I am, just as I am. I receive and I accept and I believe that when you said it was finished, I just receive it by faith. The power, it's finished. And all the demons in hell must have been fearful that day and shook in terror. His power was broken over us. Satan is bound. Ephesians says his purposes in his sovereign will, that all human history shall be consummated, shall be completed in Christ. That goes to the drug addict, to the child molester, to the murderer, to the fornicator, to the adulterer. Nobody has messed up so bad that they cannot get forgiveness for whatever they've done. It makes no difference. If one comes to the cross and receives the price that's been paid, you can't add to it. You can't subtract to it to make it any more than what it is simply. Jesus made a perfect redemption for man. His blood was shed. And it was more than all the blood of beasts, because it says in Hebrews 10:9, if the blood of bull, goats, and ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works? He paid the total sum of our sin, of humanity. And he nailed it to the tree. Who else was there? We were there. We were there that day. Past, present, and future sins are forgiven. You know, when you're thinking about a cross, it goes this way, and it goes that way. It points to the north, the east, the south, and the west. All points are covered. All of humanity is covered. North, east, south, and west. That's why we can call to the north to give them up. That we can call to the south to give them up. We can call to the east to give up the captives. We can call to every direction for captives to be free. Because when he hung on the cross, he paid the price for everybody. Everybody. So past, present, and future. If you stand the cross up, it points toward heaven, and the bottom points toward the earth. Everything we need, we walk in a different kingdom now. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of life. There is another song that we used to sing, beneath the cross of Jesus, the darkness of an awful grave that gaps both deep and wide, and there between us stands the cross. Two arms outstretched to save, like a watchman set to guard the way from the eternal grave. I appreciate those old songs now, because then I didn't understand what they were talking about. But I can go back now and I can sing them, and I know what they mean now. I know what they mean now. It's finished. The law and the prophets, the Old Testament, we say has no power now. Sin, if we obey God, has no dominion over us. Death has no dominion over us. The sting of death has no dominion over us. The power of Satan has been broken, church. The power of Satan over you and your household has been broken. Heaven has received him. It's finished. He's risen. And he's telling us, I will come again. I will come again. You can't buy salvation. You can't offer your righteousness. And there's nothing that we can do except bow in humility. Confess it, and as I said, confess it, believe it, confess it, and accept it. That's the finished work. And he bore our sins in his body, took care of the curse and the wrath of God upon us. He took our sins, and his heart was broken that ours might be healed. And he was an outcast that we might be brought into him. So if you're here today and you're not saved, I ask you this question. Do you know him? Do you know him? If you're listening by internet today and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, do you know him? You never start living until you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because that is the outflow of all other relationships in your life, is a relationship with Jesus Christ. So do you know him? And if you've never accepted him as your Savior, the altars are always open here. There's always somebody to pray for you and with you today. And I want to read this to you. We've read it once, but it talks about the king. The Bible says he is the king of the Jews. He is the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Amen. Now that's my king. That's right. David says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. He's enduringly strong, entirely sincere, eternally steadfast, imperially powerful, impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. Amen. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's a supreme problem in higher criticism. He's a fundamental doctrine in true theology. He's the carnal necessity of spiritual religion. That's my king. He's the miracle of the age. He is the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak, available for the tempted and the tired. He sympathizes and he saves. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Amen. Do you know him? That's my king. My King is the key of knowledge, the wellspring of wisdom. He is a doorway of deliverance, the pathway of peace. He is the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness, the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes, the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors, the prince of princes, and the king of kings. And he is the Lord of lords. That's my King. My King, his office is manifold. His promises are sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy. And his burden is light. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. And I'm trying to tell you, the heaven of heavens cannot contain him, let alone man trying to explain him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off your hands. You can't outlive without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out that they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't all find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. And Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. That's my King. He has always been, always will be. I'm talking about, he had no predecessor, and he'll never have a successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my King. Praise the Lord, that's my King. Thine is the kingdom, the power, glory. The glory is all his. The kingdom and the power and glory forever and ever. And when you get through with all of that, there's more to praise him for. Amen. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for the finished work of the cross. Thank you for coming and walking among us today and setting upon us, Holy Spirit, to remind us again today that it's not finished and you're not finished with us, but the finished work on the cross has been completed. We receive that today by faith, Father. And so thankful that we don't have to work for what you've already given us. It's a gift. And we receive that gift. We receive it today in the name of Jesus. And I just speak a blessing over these people today, Father, as they go forth, to remind them that they're the head and not the tail, that your favor has surrounded them as a shield, and that today they don't quit. I speak a blessing over them and their household, and come into agreement with your word concerning them and their household, and to their children and grandchildren, Father, that you have promised us your word would not return to you void. It would not fall upon the ground, but it would come back to you, Father God, and bring much harvest. We thank you for this season that we're living in, that your glory is being seen upon the earth, and that we don't have to wait for set times, but we stand under an open heaven now, and we receive all that you desire to give us, that we walk in health and prosperity, even as our soul prospers, that you're blessing us, Father, to be a blessing, and that everything our hands touch is blessed, and that we are a blessing to be a blessing, Father. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that has forgiven us, and that we stand before you righteous, that we stand before you righteous today. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Have a blessed week.